I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ye weary good people of Patriots Nation, the Foxborough faithful, take heart, because there are actually now more people on this podcast than there are days until the NFL draft. Oh, sweet sassy molasses. I think the ultimate decision we have been waiting a full half year is upon us, and we promise this won't be the final Six Rings and Football Things podcast before the draft. I've been told that there's still one more of those to come tomorrow on One-Off Wednesday. However, we promise this is our final pre-draft mock draft edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Coming at you today, your old pals, Nick Fitzy Stevens. You got the great Mike Cadlick, Pickle Pizza Party himself over there. And of course, the maniac, hashtag Take Drake Leader Movement, Andy Jumbo Hart in the house for today's edition. We are launching straight from Mike Cadlick posting his final mock draft at WEEI.com. That will be our launch point today for the first half of the pod, and then the back half we'll get to some Pat's Puri, some other swirling thoughts, rumors, and more. We've got Russinis, we've got Scouteds, we've got Schefters, we've got so many people to reference here today. So, Mike, why don't you kick things off? Walk us hand in hand down the lane of your final mock draft, and how you got to what seems like a pretty obvious choice early on, but then some bold trade-oriented moves as the mock progresses.
Yeah, round one, pick three, nice and easy. And we said it before we started recording. We've been here since December. We've jumped through the hoops, the combines, the pro days, the meetings, the rumors. It's Drake May. It's always been Drake May. It always will be Drake May. He's going to come here. He's going to be their third overall pick. It just makes too much sense. I think that with all of the smoke and mirrors around Washington and if they'll take Daniels and if, you know, Daniels doesn't want to be there and all that nonsense, like, it makes more sense for him to go to Washington and it makes more sense for Drake May to be here. So that's where we're rolling here. I think he fits what Alex Van Pelt wants to do on offense. The one thing I will say on the Drake May pick is that Alex Van Pelt's offense is very footwork oriented. Mm-hmm. Drake May right now isn't very footwork
oriented. So the criticisms have been levied by one and a many of the Kurt Benkerts, the Orlovskis, and even I believe, was it Merrill Hodge who was critical of the footwork as well?
Oh, Merrill Hodge hates
what
Drake
did Drake,
May.
I think Andy, Merrill what did Drake May do to Merrill Hodge? Did he not drive his daughter home from the prom? Did he like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah. I think all these guys have gotten to the point where they just do it on purpose. Much like people like Mike swap things out in their mock drafts a few times to kind of make them readable, get attention, get clicks. And I'm not questioning it. I think you should do that.
Right.
I think these guys realized over the years that if you take a hard stance that is counter to the commonly held thought and you're right, it can be something you live off of for 3 years, 5 years. And if you're wrong, it just kind of goes away and it fades into the ether. And I think they're choosing that to stay relevant, to stay, you know, get radio stations and podcasts to call them and continue to, we all know it's a tough media market. There's a lot of people out there and fewer jobs by the day, literally. So I think it's intentional. I really do. And just to get to the footwork thing, two things here.
Yeah.
Alex Van Pelt's job is to coach, correct?
I truly believe when we were all stunned, like, wait a second, they hired an offensive coordinator? Alex Van Pelt, the guy that used to, that old Buffalo quarterback? I had no idea. I truly believe he's almost here not even to be the offensive coordinator. I mean, I know that's his title. I honestly think he's here to just groom whatever quarterback they choose.
So therefore, the footwork issues don't bother me. Because, I mean, I don't think Drake May is like a 2 left feet, 12 toes moron. Like, I feel like he's a pretty good athlete who, if the right coach tells him what to do and refines it, and oh, by the way, there's no longer any limitations on how much time you're investing in this. You become a full-time quarterback the second you are drafted to the National Football League. No more classes, no more limit NCAA hourly limitations. Get your ass in there and figure out the footwork. My second thing here is, and I'm going to rant from a column I wrote earlier this week on WEEI.com.
I was going
to
mention
this. I hate to pull the, Albert Breer, Peter King thing and be like, as I wrote earlier in the week on the website I work for, this stupid idea that they can take Drake May because they have some sort of a stable bridge in Jacoby Brissett. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. Jacoby Brissett blows. He's not an NFL quarterback. He's not a starter.
That wasn't very kind.
I could say it was swears and more meanly, but he's a great professional, great teammate, great worker. And I agree wholly with the first part of Elliot Wolf's answer where he said, Jacoby Brissett is going to support the quarterback we might draft, .. Oh, and compete with him. The and compete part is an afterthought. He is not this, as I wrote in the column, this is not the Chiefs with Alex Smith where you have a Pro Bowl effing quarterback so you can bring in a guy and let him sit for a year, 2 years. No one wants to see Jacoby Brissett play. No one benefits from Jacoby Brissett playing. Drake May, if he's the guy, should play because I use the examples of Josh Allen, as raw can be. Other than Trey Lance, maybe the rawest of quarterbacks to come into the National Football League in the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah, was he coming? Didn't he come in with like a 52% or 56% completion percentage? Like he was wild.
Go watch his lowlights. His lowlights look like a guy that should never play the quarterback position at any level, whether it's Wyoming or Buffalo. And by week two, he was starting and he never looked back. Like that's just the reality. And guess what? He evolved, he developed, he grew, he learned, he made mistakes over the back throws in playoff games, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And now he rolls out of bed and he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the National. You know why? He's athletically special. He's a hard worker. He's gifted in terms of competitive nature and all of that. And if you don't think Drake May, if you think Drake May is breakable, then don't draft Drake May. Because if he's breakable, he's not a true franchise QB. He's not the guy.
And that leads exactly into the next question I wanted to ask you guys. And I think this has sort of been overlooked a little bit in the 10,000 different discussions we have had here. You've probably had on TV there. I got the mention in by 7 minutes, Andy. You're welcome. On my socials, on the Rich Keefe Show, wherever we've been, when Cadillac talks waiting with Barth pizza. And does other. Yeah. Waiting for pizza in line. Exactly. Yeah. Hanging out, having too many beers with Fitzy in the garage, wherever, however, any which way. The one thing that they keep talking about that I keep hearing analysts and football fans talk about that is the ultimate allure to J.J. McCarthy is the fact that the kid is a winner. The fact that he's got the intent, they believe that he has the savage instinct, that he's got a little bit of a psycho killer. Whoa, don't do that again. If you're not watching on YouTube and you just turned a W into F.U. Fitzy. It's not me. Maybe that was more on general.
I don't think we're allowed to put... We might not even be allowed to put it on.
Jeez,
YouTube.
Now I have to hire effects artist or AI to blur that out. Jeez. God, why are you always making work for me? Anyway, so that's the big thing about J.J. McCarthy is they believe that he has the it factor, that he's an ultimate competitor, that winning matters that much to him. So I like Drake May's response to the Kevin Clark question on the This Is Football podcast about, he didn't mind going to the Top Golf with everybody. He actually loved hanging out with J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels, whereas Jaden Daniels was off-put by that, which gives me those diva vibes that make me think, I don't know if I really – he could be a star, but he could also be a pain in the ass. It's fine. Hey, whatever. If you throw more touchdowns than interceptions, you win football games. I don't care. Just make football fun again in Foxborough. But do we think Drake May – like, is he going to hang his head after the win? Is he going to have that psycho Brady look on the sideline? Or is he just, you know, is he just in it for a good time and he's just going to go out and, you know, crush some hard seltzers and listen to Hootie after the game, no matter what happens?
Well, he does kind of seem like a, you know, fun Southern goofball who is like, you know, win or lose, we still boo.
Definitely has. Vibes, I think, right? He's got charisma and charm to spare for sure. But does he care? Does he care that much?
I mean, I think so. I don't get the vibe that he doesn't care. I just think that I got to get the vibe that he has, like, you know, the memory of a goldfish where, like, good or bad, straight focus, move forward. I'm fine. I'm confident in myself. I can play football any which way. And I kind of see that in Josh Allen too. Like, does Josh Allen really, you know, have the fire that Brady ever did? No, not really, but he's still a very good quarterback. Who's, like you said, Andy, a freak athlete. And I almost like that attitude better than like what we talked about with Jaden Daniels, where like, I'm better than you. I don't like the Topgolf thing because this is supposed to be my franchise, blah, blah, blah. And Drake May is just like, yeah, take it and run, roll with the punches. I'm going to go wherever I want to go. And I'm going to try and win football games because I'm really good at playing football.
Yeah. All this stuff is warranted, this type of discussion, because we always talk about like checking all the boxes, and the closer you get to number one, you got to check pretty much all the boxes because you're making a franchise altering potentially. You know, I keep throwing this out there. By the time these guys that you hope to sign to a second contract get to said contract, you're making more than a $500 million decision, right? Like, we're getting in that world, and that's how you should treat it, how important you should treat it. For, you know, Robert Kraft, everybody's like, oh, his franchise is worth $7-8 billion. Yeah, well, this is a pretty big decision, even for a guy that has $8 billion, right? Or Jonathan, who we'll get into later. So but all of this too is so it's more inexact than the inexact science of the draft, I guess I would put it, right? Like, it's just, nobody knows how people deal with change and adversity and money and success and highs and like, you know, the comparison, the wins, all he does is win. I saw the thing today making the rounds, like, high school win, high school win, high school win, pro win, college win.
What is he, like 61-3 or something from high school through college? Like,
just like Trevor Lawrence was 84-4 or whatever, and now is like,
and he was 20-30 in the pros.
Right. So, and he's fine.
Mac Jones has a better record.
Ugh.
Just so,
and a burgeoning rap career.
Burgeoning? Burgeoning?
Festering, perhaps?
Dying? Yeah. So, yeah, this is all, but it's all, you have to trust the vibe of your coaches. That's why I thought it was interesting, Elliot Wolf talking about in the building and interacting with people, and like, that's part of it. Now, you could misread that, right? Like, you, there's a fine line between, you know, motivated and maniacal a-hole and, you know, wound too tight. How many times we talk about that early on in Mac Jones's career? Is he wound too tight? And by all appearances now,
when Belichick had to like literally walk him off the field because he was going to like,
and I think we now know rip his hair he out. Was probably wound too tight.
And so the circumstances, that the extenuating circumstances and bad decisions that were made of not giving him a good line, not giving him a wide receiver one, ultimately giving him a defensive coordinator. Yeah, it did. It broke him. It 100% like
you tightened it and you tightened it and you tightened it. And all of a sudden something's got to give. And it was him and his mentality and his heart and his focus and all of those things. So is Drake May a question? Yep. Is JJ McCarthy? Absolutely. Is anyone more safer than the other? Not in my opinion, having not hung out with either of them. And that's always my caveat. I would love to have had the opportunity to play 6 hours of Top Golf and have some beers and see how they are sober, see how they are a little liquored up, see how they are, you know, with teammates, see how they are in the corner. Is he pointing at the other guy and be like, look at this tool over here? Like, you get a read off. We don't have that. So we just have to take the superficial stance. They're all huge risks, all massive risks.
It almost does make you wonder, and I agree that when the Patriots, and I think it's going to be Drake May at three as well, and I'll get to the other guy that has sort of like bubbled to the top or near the top in the last week to week and a half or so in a minute, and why he has displayed some of the things or the unquantifiables that I believe teams have questioned about him that would make me like, and as seems to have made a lot of other football fans like him more in recent day as well. Mm-hmm. But with Drake May, you are investing in the raw prospect. He's got a 230-something bills, 6'4", can throw the football over them, their mountains. Like, he's got it. He's got it all. So if he comes to the right set of circumstances and they take the time to groom him properly, and hell yes, he does beat out Jacoby Brissett. You can, two things can be true at once. You can still play him, so he gets valuable experience in the now, but also be constantly working with him so that you can hopefully get to that second half of Josh Allen's year two jump. Remember, he was terrible the first three times he played the Patriots. Terrible. But then by that final game in 2019, where the Pats won on a Saturday, 24-17, Josh Allen was good. Josh Allen finally got there. Like, he saw through the matrix all that time that Daboll spent with him, and hopefully Van Pelt will be the Daboll for Drake May, will ultimately round him into a quality quarterback. And it does make me wonder.
Well, that's too. I want to. Can I push back and give a little, like a say? Yeah, there's Andy with a little wait, head tilt. Just give another
with
angle.
Catholic with pushback?
Well, to the Jacoby Brissett stuff, right? Like, is he a great quarterback on the field? No, he's not. No, he's not. As Andy said, he blows. But
plus level backup?
Does having him on the roster make you more inclined to draft Drake May? Also, no. You're going to bring him in anyway. But is having him on the roster a benefit to Drake May when he gets here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Even I agree with that, so because he's the perfect guy.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think he's – you know, I had this discussion with somebody where they – when they were thinking of the veterans to bring in, they swiftly eliminated a lot of people because they believed those people still see themselves as starters and truly competing. And I don't think Jacoby Brissett is doing that. I think he's still competing because you're always going to be –
sure.
But I think he's also understanding of who he is, where he is, what he is. And, yes, I do not think he'll be undercutting Drake May's development or trying to question.
I think he's perfect for Drake May's development.
Absolutely.
I think he's seen it all. He's seen the highs with a Tom Brady Super Bowl team. He's seen the lows with a Deshaun
it's
Watson.
It's year nine coming in for him as as well.
Right.
Andy, you've said before when we first heard about Brissett being signed, and we all speculated, like, coming from Cleveland, this is a no-brainer, experience with Van Pelt, that just in terms of having a mentor, a gentleman, a winner, something like all of his intangibles and human unquantifiables are off the charts for a good locker room, a first-year coach who needs to get everyone on the same page, a disciplined team. Now, of course, we have Matthew Slater as Mayo's right-hand man. So I think this team is going to be well-behaved, likable. They're going to put their best foot forward, tons of effort, like a bunch of guys.
And I also think bridge quarterback, has kind of like a – frankly, like, it's there's kind of a stupid negative connotation on it, because, like, you think that he's there to try and win you some games, where we don't need to win games. We just need you to literally be the bridge from all the old bad stuff last season to the eventual coming of Drake.
And hopefully bridge is not in Baltimore and is still standing.
Oh, we're making bridge.
Oh, come on, please.
Now who has made us edit that, drop that, cut that?
Yeah, seriously. Jeez.
That's fine. That's nothing. Nothing's too soon. Don't worry about it.
You can do anything on a podcast.
Yeah,
I think
you can
legally anything's allowed.
It's fine. It's totally. This is the Wild West still of the broadcast medium. I did want to get to real quick. Yesterday, that would be Monday, of course, 3 days before the draft, as we record this 2 days prior to the draft. It's just a little over 2 days until NFL draft time, and we see the commissioner take the stage in front of a rumored and reported 300,000 expected attendees for the draft in Detroit. This is going to be big. We are talking rolling out of the Henry Ford automobile big. People love
it. Hang out with Gresham Foray.
Exactly.
Like, I have no interest in that. Like,
it's super fun. It is super fun. It's having been to a ton, just because you're out in public, you're in the free open air, you're hanging out with football fans, you get to see it live and in person. There's food and drink. It's really like a giant sponsored tailgate. Like, you can't actually pull up your rig and put on your music and do a proper tailgate, of which there'll probably be tens of thousands this coming Saturday at Gillette for the Messi game, and then more in June for Tom Brady Day. But it is a lot of fun, Andy. It's sort of one of those things you'd go to. It's the Burning Man of football, just a little more controlled and stylized. But
I will say, I did enjoy, and I don't generally enjoy a lot that Roger Goodell does. His commercial with Eminem made me laugh out loud. That was a funny commercial.
Yeah, it was
pretty good. That was well done by the writers. Them and even Eminem delivered it like he wasn't high or effed up over years usage of drugs. So. Well done.
Oh, good. So Eminem just passed Andy's drug test for the commercial.
The eyeball test. I'm not saying he was not on something. I'm just saying eyeball test.
What are you talking about? Well, geez, Louise, what is Eminem? When has he ever been like a report? For God's sakes, I'm not going to defend one of the finest exports of Detroit and or his demeanor. Eminem is an outstanding, upright citizen who produces quality music and is representing for the city of Detroit. I personally fell in love with him all over again when he was in San Francisco back in January for the NFC Championship. And from his luxury box, he gave the double birds to all the 49ers.
I thought we couldn't do that.
That's fine. Birds, you already set the press. I learned it from, you, Dad.
Jesus. Clean it up.
So on Monday, Michael Penix Jr., who has been, I won't say mocked, but at least he has been rumored to be of potential backup interest, as in, and we'll get to the tweets in a moment. There was the Diana Rossini tweet on Monday. The New England Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into number three. While Elliot Rolf was running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making. We'll break that down in just a second and what that could mean for everybody out there. But then following that up was a tweet from at Scouted NFL, S-C-O-U-T-D-N-F-L. Now you might say, like, why do I care about somebody who has 9,500 followers? Doesn't follow anybody. And Schefter follows at Scouted NFL. Okay, so he tweets out, he, she, whoever, whoever's burner this is, report, if Drake May is available at three, we could see chaos on Thursday. The Patriots have received, quote, shocking Bryce-type offers. I'll contextualize. That would be Bryce Young offers for last year when the Bears and the Panthers traded. Bryce-type offers for the pick, per source. The Vikings and Giants are willing to sell the farm. This is contingent on pick two, a tough decision for New England, question mark. So this means that the Patriots may be getting the Godfather offer. They could be getting the mother of all offers from either the Vikings or the Giants for Drake May. It makes sense. Daboll sees his next Josh Allen. The Vikings with the Josh McCown connection to Drake May as well. Scouted did follow that up later on by also saying he couldn't believe, he, she, whoever it is, couldn't believe the size of the offer that they had heard per a reputable source. Now, if the Patriots do get that offer, and if they were to trade back, do we, A, think that they would actually select Michael Penix in the first round, be it in the middle of the round, later in the round? And B, do you think that this would be palatable? Because he wrote Monday in the Players Tribune, I hear it all the time. He's been injured. What happens if he gets injured? This is Penix's piece he wrote. Haven't I shown you what it looks like? Haven't I put almost 2,000 plays on tape since my last injury? Since my, quote, fourth season-ending injury in 4 years, it's constantly mentioned whenever my name is brought up. Truth is, I'd be more worried if I had never been injured. We don't all come back the same. I can't speak for those that have never gone through anything, but I can speak on me. I've seen how deep my foundation is. I know the storms I'm prepared to weather. For most people, that would be the end of their story, but there's more to my story, and I own every page of it. Dude, I don't know if he hired a ghostwriter or who he was working with, but like that's the kind of thing that if I'm a GM, and I'm wondering if I go to my fallback quarterback in the first round because someone just gave me four first round picks. I don't know. Just saying.
Boys. So this sort of flies in the face of everything I've heard, that they haven't gotten any really good offers. Words like laughable have been thrown out there. So this is interesting. Somebody's lying or somebody's making stuff up at this time of year in the silly season. I do believe they are open to trade, and I do believe they've been honest that if they get the bag, they may take the bag and run with it. Yes, I am a maniac. Yes, I want them to stick and pick at three because I think that's all that really matters is that quarterback position and nailing that pick. But, you know, the old caveat that everybody, if you're not sold on the guy at three, listen to the offers. See if you can take advantage of your opportunity. Don't just stick and pick if you don't feel it, if it's not the right move. But let's play along and say that, you know, everything, you know, this source on some guy, whoever the hell this is right. And they are getting four first round picks or my dream deal of three first round picks and a left tackle or a wide receiver or some player. To me, then J.J. McCarthy becomes the next guy in line. I don't think Penix is the next guy in line. It's funny you use the word backup plan, Fitzy. I agree completely. He's an NFL backup. I think that's an apt description of him. And I, not because of the injuries. I love his heart and like this fire, and you're right, he handled that nicely. But I just think there are some limitations in his game. And I've seen a little bit more of this that's always bothered me. You know, kind of he throws the fastball. And then you tell him to throw a changeup and he shakes you off and he throws the fastball.
Throws another fastball. Yeah, I know, because that arm can sling it, but does he have the touch and control necessary to compete? And not just compete, but win at this next level.
And there are times you see where prior to or somewhere surrounding one of those awe-inspiring deep balls where you're like, dime. If you watch the game, you're like, that was not a dime on the play before. That was not a very good throw. And I always say this.
And it was it's third and nine because of, two missed passes or whatever.
And that's the bound. Like this, the game is about, we always fixate on ceilings and upside. And like consistency is a huge part of being a quarterback in the NFL. Like consistently playing at a good level to great level. And I know there's all the game gunslingers and game guys that, at the biggest of moments come up big. And that's huge. That can be the difference. Mm-hmm. But sometimes consistency is really, really key. And I'm just not sold that Penix is a consistent thrower of the football at the National Football League level. Now, you want to, I've said this a million times, you want to just do that old, what's that TV show where the guy flings out the lawn chair and sits down?
Eastbound and Down. Yeah.
You want to Eastbound and Down somebody to watch them throw? Give me Penix all day long. Give me six Miller Lights, a little bucket of ice, and I'll watch him for a nice period of time. But I want to win football games. I want accuracy. I want the ability to manage a game in an offense. And I'm not sure he has all that.
And Mike, last week when we talked, Andy and I spoke with Brian Baldinger, and it was a great podcast. If you missed it, go back and check it out on the Six Rings feed. Baldy said he was his second quarterback of his rankings. He had Drake May ranked fourth of all the quarterbacks coming into the first round of this draft.
Okay.
And his thing about Penix, and you can go both ways with this. Yes, Michael Penix had three good receivers. Yes, he had a highly underrated offensive line. Yes, he had a really good head coach in Bloom, so good that the guy is now the head coach of Alabama since Nick Saban retired. But so was he the product of all of that over 2 years? But Baldinger pointed out that after he came back from the four seasons of injuries, he didn't hang him up or just go lay low somewhere. He went to a larger program, transferred to Washington, and as McMillan and Odunze and Polk were all ready to transfer out, he convinced them to stay and said, let's make something special here. And in 2 years, didn't miss a start.
Right.
Guy made it all the way to the Natty. All three of those guys are going to be drafted within the first three rounds of this coming draft as well. You'll have linemen taken in the first two rounds. DeBoer gets the Alabama job. Penix is now a first round quarterback. I think he's got more winning spirit about him than people are giving him credit for.
So do I.
The spirit is there. No.
Yeah.
Real quick, the spirit is definitely there. It's the ability, because everybody has the spirit when they are a winner at some level. Like, and I always say, like, there's no shame in having a winning spirit as a high school guy who can't transition to the college level or can't transition to the pro level. And you're right, Fitzy. He deserves more props for that. I feel like JJ McCarthy gets all that spirit, intangibles, winning. Like, give Penix his share there too. That, well said, Fitzgerald.
And
a rarity.
I feel like this
compliment from Andy. Mark the tape. Jesus.
The 26-19 on April 20, but McCarthy really took this massive jump right over the last, call it 3 months, 2 months of the draft season.
Because they won.
And into that top four. But like Michael Penix was pretty much always above him until this latest push of intangibles and off platform throwing, I guess, and then really good interviews. And we all just kind of took it. And like, I remember I saw it, me and Andy in real time, both were kind of just like, okay, yeah, maybe we do like JJ McCarthy over Michael Penix, but it was pretty close. And all of a sudden now it's just gospel. And it's like, I still don't 100% buy it. I like Michael Penix. I think he can play. I like the fact that, you just talked about it, Fitzy, the thing he wrote for the Players Tribune, that he's like, no, yes, I've been hurt, but yes, I've came back from it. And yes, I'm here. And even though I'm 25, I still have a lot of football left in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I've cleared my medicals. I showed that I can win games. I showed that I can.
He's got this. This is good. And he's also got this. And he's got 10.5-inch hands. And he ran a 4.46. And he can leap 37 inches in the air. And he can chuck the ball 75 yards. And we've talked about a million different guys that break down tape and everyone trying to be like the next Orlovsky, right? It's been Kurt Benkert. It's this quarterback, that quarterback. Chase Daniel. I was unfamiliar with the fact that Chase Daniel, who made a mint as a backup in the NFL over a decade and a half. Oh, but to just have one or two of the zeros and decimals in his bank account for all the work he put in. He's doing a ton of work now for the 33rd team, NFL Network. He's doing breakdowns galore. His love affair for Michael Penix, he said he should be the first QB off the board, diagnoses a lot of the throws. Yes, he thinks he like absolutely needs to be. He's his favorite quarterback in this
Bears
draft.
Should take him.
I think the discourse and the volatility of Michael Penix Jr., at this point might be larger than the JJ McCarthy discourse.
Right.
Some people think Penix is A1, like Johnny Manziel. Now take his opinion for what it's worth, but he's been doing some work too now with, I forget where he's doing stuff, but he's back on the media trail.
He's on the, he's the host of the Behind the Circle K podcast. That's where he works back at the gas station.
Yeah, right. But but no, he's high on Michael Penix too. But then other guys, and Andy mentioned it too, think of him as just a backup and can't really do it. So I don't know. It's going to be hit or miss, and so is JJ McCarthy. And that's what this is all about. It's dart throws. But I'm starting to see that he has a lot more ceiling versus floor, even more so than JJ McCarthy does.
All right, so before we get to the back half of this podcast and in the Pat's Puri, we will lead off with our discussion of the purported and or alleged Jonathan Kraft involvement in the draft selections. Let me just run through Cadlex. You could also read this at WEI.com, but in case you don't have a chance to, because you are very busy making up your own mock drafts or just living a normal human's life. In round one, Mike in his final mock, and I know a lot of times you're not allowed to, as Andy pointed out earlier, you're not allowed to repeat picks, so that's why people keep changing things over. Here's a fresh mock. Here's Mike's final one. We'll see. Round one, May, third overall. His second pick, round dun, dun, dun. Two, pick 34. The New England Patriots trade pick 34, the second pick of the second round, to the Eagles for wide receiver A.J. Brown, finally giving him the landing in Foxborough he so richly deserves and has wanted. His rationale, let's get nuts. And of course, you cited that Breer has said Philadelphia has been receiving calls about the receiver. Did we or did we not have rumored and or alleged, like, did any one of us here finally source out whether or not the Patriots did actually call the Eagles?
Breer had said it like 5 minutes after.
They definitely did.
Breer said that New England was one of the teams. He also said that Howie Roseman is laughing the calls off, but they're still listening. They're still taking them if the Patriots want them. And, you know, A.J. Brown is another one of those. I don't want to call him a diva, but kind of is sometimes happy, sometimes not where he is. He loves the Patriots. Right. If Philly wants to get rid of him, wants to take pick 34. Why not? They could get desperate, right? Like, you know, everyone says that this guy's not on the block, but then he ends up getting traded. I see the same thing with A.J. Brown in Philly.
And he did. We had one of those stupid social media alerts at some point where he, I don't know, scrubbed the Eagles, followed Patriots, blah, blah, blah.
And put up Tom Brady as his avatar.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he tweeted out, no, this is stupid. This is nonsense. I just love Tom Brady. Stop reading into it. Man. And then he deleted the tweet.
Then he deleted that as well.
Yeah. So
he tried to cover up with a tweet, and then he deleted the cover up tweet or the rationale tweet as well.
Just so bring him home.
Social media. Everyone just shut up. Just like, you know, everyone just stop saying things and just let the draft come to all of us.
But that said, we'd all take it, correct?
100%.
Excuse me. Let me ask you
between
trading pick two for AJ Brown or drafting someone who could have AJ Brown upside in like a Xavier Legette, which one would you go?
AJ Brown.
Been there, done that, can do it, will do it, loves you, wants to, yes.
Okay. Binky for the quarterback right away, proven veteran. L.A. Wolf talked about backside.
That's your Steph Diggs. There you go. That's a good point. That's your Steph Diggs for this Josh Wilson, Josh Allen. Yep.
Tyreek Hill for Tua. A.J. Brown for Jalen Hurts a few years ago.
There's no saying
for C.J. Stroud now.
There's no saying you can't also draft a wide receiver. Xavier Legette might be available atop the third round, so you may have A.J. Brown and Xavier Legette and Okorafor playing left tackle.
And a dead quarterback. Awesome. Your boy, Andy, that's the end of his wide receivers all the way to the seventh round. In round two, Mike also has the Patriots trading up for offensive tackle Patrick Paul in a trade with the Giants. That could give you a mountain of humanity, which could
be... You down with PPP?
Oh, boy, yes, you know me. Round four, pick 103, Kyrie Jackson, cornerback out of Oregon. I think that's a smart move. I also like the kid out of Notre Dame. If he's still available at that point, could go a little bit earlier. Then there's a trade down. The Patriots send 180 to New Orleans for 190 and 239. Love this pick. If he's still around at 190, Dylan Laub, the running back hybrid receiver dude out of UNH, I think that would be a great Pats pick.
Might not fall that far, but the running backs in this class kind of stink, so who knows?
I'm disappointed in you, Cadlick.
Yeah, we did this on our
running You're like backs, serving up the masses here, like you're giving those people what they want.
A lot of clicks, baby.
193, we go with tight end Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. And then in the round seven, the final two picks, Pick 231, should he last that long? One of the all-name selections in this draft, wide receiver Bub Means out of Pittsburgh, 6'1", 212. Not the fastest guy, but he's a competitor for the football as well. And again, who doesn't love them a little Bub Means? And finally, Edelman, I like this pick. What's that?
Edelman will love that pick.
I think.
Bubs.
Oh, there you go. Well done, Andy.
Also and finally, worked rounds- with Tyquan Thornton, or Tyquan Underwood, rather, at Pitt.
I was going to say, if you worked with Tyquan Thornton, he's immediately off.
Cross him off the list.
Oh, sorry. Tyquan Underwood.
Okay, that's a smart. See? I bet he's going to sell him in the room. Good job. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually go for him around earlier in that case. And finally, Mike's last pick, 239, Joshua Carty, kicker out of Stanford. I like it. You want to know why? Because Chad Ryland needs competition, because I don't know if Chad Ryland got it. And also, I don't want this administration. I think we can all agree. I don't want this administration beholden to regime, whatever you want to call it, Andy. This iteration of the Patriots coaching, executive capacities, whatever. I don't want this regime beholden to any previous draft picks. Like, oh well, they spent a four on him last year. All right, that's not my problem. If I have to pull this part out, if I want a different dining room table, if I want the living room a different color, damn it, I'll paint it a different color, even if that sets us back a pick.
And based on something that the adept ear of Mike Cadlick picked up in the pre-draft press conference from Elliot Wolf, I'm not sure they are beholden to past picks and or mistakes, because in Elliot Wolf's overzealous positive description of his offensive line, there was something that was seriously lacking, and that was two words: Cole and Strange. He talked about the tackles and Andrews and the rookies from last year, made no mention of Cole Strange, a pick that many of us hated the time it was made, many of us still kind of hate the pick. And so, to sort of prove your example, I'm not sure Cole Strange is necessarily standing on the same footing he once did in New England.
That's a very good. If they're like, no, I don't think this guy, he doesn't fit what we're going to try to do. Maybe he competes for. Why not make him a tight end?
Like, half serious here. He's a big athletic dude. Let's make him the fullback. What's his name in Baltimore? Is 315?
Ricard.
Yeah. Why don't we make Cole Strange a fullback? And then
Andy, can I tell you straight up?
You're going to tell me you put him in front of Ramondre Stevenson? You don't have a freaking train moving?
Yeah, you bring your boy James Devlin up to work with him for 3 weeks, coming off of the ACL, no less. I will say this. So last year, I was at the stadium and I hosted a little watch party for the season ticket holders of the Patriots Raiders game. Oh, good times. Devontae Parker. Did it hit your thumbs? Went off your fingertips. I forgot. That's right.
Just the tips,
just to see how it feels. And Cole Strange was our current player guest, cause he was rehabbing a different injury at the time. He stepped up on stage. Same height as me, like not much bigger than me. Just like he had 100 pounds on me. That's it. Like he's not, I didn't see this guy and just think like Line Haas, you know what I mean? Like Shaq Mason. Oh geez. Trent Brown. Oh geez. Like Cole Strange. Like, oh, that's your big buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Perfect fullback.
There we go. There you go, folks. All right. There is your first half of today's Six Rings podcast. Our final mock draft edition. Do you like our rationale for the quarterbacks? Do you like Mike's mock? Anything else? You can always holler at us. He's at Mike Cadlick. I'm at Fizzy GFY, and he is Jumbo Heart. Stick around for a little Pat's Paris, where we will cover everything else circulating around the wide world of Pat's Nation 2 days before the draft. And of course, the 6 to midnight Rich Keefe show, Draft Spectacular with Cadlick, Heart, a little splash of me, Keefe on the comm, and of course, Chris Scheim talking about how sexy he looks now that he lost all that weight from Awaken 180. All right.